This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray, from the D here in downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. Please give us a rate, review, and subscribe as we continue to build up in those iTunes rankings, Spotify rankings, whatever you listen to us on. And you know who's been helping us out? He said he wants winners. He was sick and tired of losers. Not Mike Singletary. It is Matt Eumanns. 13-3-1 the last 3 weeks, Matt Eumanns. So let's keep it rolling for you, sir.
We want winners. Everybody wants winners.
Yes, indeed. We do want those winners. For Matt, 13-3-1, a 5-1-1 week last week. I know he's frustrated. I'm sure he will voice his displeasure for the late night game as they were unable to get to the window on that Boise State-Hawaii game. A late touchdown. It seemed like Hawaii was the right side the entire week. But still, hell of a week for Matt. 5-1-1 against the spread. Hey, nothing like a good old closing line value loss. Avery Johnson over under 61.5 rushing yards. I think closed north of 72. And he had like negative 10 yards. So a 2-3 week for me. And we like to call our spicy matchups. We all like spicy food here. He's been red hot. I've been mildly mediocre. 9-9 these last 3 weeks. But we move on. We've got week 9, Matt. It is a loaded week yet again. And it starts down in Austin, Texas. We call the biggest games of the week.
Course.
Yes, indeed. You know, we're getting closer and closer to Thanksgiving. I think we're about a month out, a little over that. And we are fired up for that main course on Thanksgiving. The game that is our main course, our turkey, our stuffing, however you want to define it this week. Number 5, Georgia at number 1, Texas, Matt, 7:30 on ABC. And Georgia, they are in some rarefied air here. They are not used to being an underdog. They are catching 4.5 or 5 on the road at number 1, Texas.
I made the number 2.5, and I was, you know, not that surprised that the number opened 3, but the fact that it went to 3.5, 4, up to 5. I bet Georgia plus 4, thinking that was the best number I was going to get. And then I had to bet a little bit more, plus 5 here. I'm in disagreement with some of the numbers guys who make Texas a 4.5-point favorite here. Of course, I was in disagreement when I took Alabama against Georgia. I was in disagreement when I took Oregon against Ohio State. So that didn't bother me too much. You have to stick with what you believe in and stick with your own numbers and opinions. So here's my here's where I differ on Texas. The Texas defense has allowed 13 points or fewer in all 6 games. But what's the highest-rated offense the Longhorns have faced? Believe it or not, it's Michigan. You might think of UL Monroe, but it's actually Michigan. And that's not impressive. So Quinn Ewers comes back from an oblique injury, out for the first time. He's out for a month. He comes back for the first time against Oklahoma a week ago. I thought he was pretty rusty. He was fortunate that the Longhorns are facing Oklahoma. And the Oklahoma offense, without the top 3 wide receivers and a freshman quarterback, Michael Hawkins, just could not move the ball. So even though the Longhorns win that game 34-3, he's still going to have to do a little bit more to impress me. And I think Carson Beck, even though I'm not the biggest fan, is by far the best quarterback the Longhorns defense has faced. Beck passed for 459 yards and 3 touchdowns a week ago. And now the Georgia offense, defense doesn't have the same elite talent, Tim, that I think it's had the last 5 or 6 years. But it's still a Georgia team that I think knows how to fight and grind in these type of games on the road. Bulldogs went on the road, played a tough game against Kentucky. Went on the road, played a tough game against Alabama. The Longhorns have not been in a game like that yet. And this is going to be the first time they're in a game like that this season. And also, who does this game mean more to? It means more to Georgia because the Bulldogs have already taken 1 loss. They really don't want 2 when you're looking ahead to the college football playoff scenarios. Georgia has been a favorite in 49 consecutive games. I'll take the Bulldogs as dogs for the first time in 50 games here, a plus 5. And this is my, I'm going to say right now, my favorite play of the week. We'll see how it turns out, but I like it.
Well, a common play for you and me, Scott Van Pelt, I don't know if this will be a GPG, general principle game for him when he gives out his winners on his SportsCenter show, but for me, Georgia catching points, I don't know if it's square or not, but I look at the strength of schedule that you ran down for Texas, currently sitting number 82, and I think Texas is rightfully the favorite. You look at the look-ahead market, I believe was 2 at DraftKings over the summer. Georgia was 2 in this game. Yes, Georgia has not looked perfect. They have not looked vintage Georgia. When you think back to last week and the freshman coming in Michael Van Buren, part of, I don't know if he's part of the Van Buren boys. We didn't have to put up the 8 there to get out of any trouble there. A little Seinfeld reference, but Georgia struggled a bit against Michael Van Buren, struggled against Kentucky. But to your point, Matt, just looking at strength of schedule, they're 7th in the country, Georgia is, while Texas is 82nd. So, look, if Texas goes out there and puts it on Georgia, you know, tip your cap, and they're the best team in the country. But I will take the points happily here with Georgia. And like you, I took 4 this week thinking it was going to go to 3, 3.5. It did for a little bit. We saw buyback on Wednesday. And right now, as we record this on Thursday, 4.5s and 5s are out there. So a common play for the two of us, Matt, here. We're both taking a points with the dog. In the dogs, which is a very rare spot for them, as you alluded to, haven't been an underdog since that season opener against Clemson in 2021, a game in which they did win and shut out the Clemson Tigers. All right, staying in the SEC, Matt, ABC, 3:30 on Saturday. Good old Rocky Top. They snuck out with a victory last week against Florida. I don't know why our guy Sunbelt Billy didn't go for 2, but that's beside the point. They win in overtime 23-17. And then Alabama, very fortunate to eke out a win at home against South Carolina. So it's interesting to look at these two teams, both very much still in the playoff hunt. Alabama arguably has the best win in the country so far, beating Georgia this year. But both since their premier win, Tennessee at Oklahoma, and then Alabama beating Georgia, have struggled a little bit. What do you make of this game as Alabama right now is a road 3-point favorite against the Vols?
Well, I mentioned on this podcast 2 or 3 weeks ago that I thought Tennessee was being overhyped. I was not that impressed with the Vols when they went to Norman and beat Oklahoma, because that was a game when Jackson Arnold imploded with 3 turnovers, and Tennessee won that game 25-15. And just looking at the opposition that the Vols have faced early in the season, Chattanooga, Kent State, a lot of people get impressed when a team rolls up big numbers and they want to hype Nico, the young quarterback. But, you know, your job as a sports bettor is to see through the hype and find value in numbers. And I thought Tennessee was getting really inflated. And I thought that going into the Arkansas game. Well, Nico's passed for an average of 160 yards in the last 2 games. And he's been wild with some of his throws. He looks like a wild pitcher out there, very erratic, not accurate enough. And I think this Tennessee offense has got problems. Look, when you're lucky to beat the Florida Gators at home, something's wrong. When you're lucky to beat Sunbelt Billy and the Gators in Knoxville, something's wrong. And I watched that game, and I thought, okay, I'm probably going to play Alabama next week. Now, I went back and watched the tape from the South Carolina-Alabama game, and that's pretty ugly. Jalen Milroe was as bad as I've seen him. He threw 2 picks in that game. The Tide all-around sloppy. Only totaled a little over 300 yards in offense in that game. It really got held down by the South Carolina defense. But, you know, you got to sometimes got to try to turn that into a positive, too, because I think Kalen DeBoer and the coaching staff is going to kick some butt this week and try to clean up all those mistakes. And you should get a much better, cleaner effort from Alabama on the road than we saw last week against South Carolina, because this is 2 weeks in a row the Tide have struggled. So I think Alabama, I played this early in the week, -2.5. I'll still say it's playable at -3. I knew this number was going to go up to 3 when I saw the 2.5 on the board early in the week. Tennessee was outgained, 360 to 312 by Florida. Too many red flags with Volunteers. I'll expect Alabama to play. It's A game, or at least it's B-plus game, to get a win on the road here.
I don't know if you can smell that. You know, we're in 2 different locations, but that's that wafting smell, that is the smell of my 18-1 Heisman ticket on Nico Iamaleava. You could go throw that one in the fire. That one is dead and buried. 150-1 at one prominent national shop now for Nico to win the Heisman Trophy. All right, let's sneak in another SEC game. Number 8, LSU. They win in overtime, a thriller down there in Baton Rouge. A winner for you last week as you took the points with LSU and And now they got to turn around and they got to play Arkansas. This is the battle for the Golden Boot. And LSU, I don't know how you carry that effort over. Arkansas coming off a bye. Good news here, Talen Green not on the injury report anymore, as he was left the game early against Tennessee in that upset win. And how about this? Sam Pittman as a dog. This courtesy of our good friend and loyal listener to VSiN, Matt Grissom. 21-9 ATS as a dog, 6-1 ATS at home in night games, and 7-1 ATS after a bye. The problem is this, Matt. I gave it out earlier this week, VSiN.com/picks. I think you did as well. I took 3 with Arkansas. The market's now 1.5. So it's not going to be an official play because I hate that we're not getting 3, but I do think Arkansas wins this game. Quickly before we hit a break, we got about a minute. Your thoughts on LSU-Arkansas?
Well, first of all, LSU was a lucky winner for me last week. Had to sweat that one out in the fourth quarter. Hawaii was a very unlucky push, so that's the way it goes. But I think, you know, off that emotional win, and Baton Rouge, this is a fade spot of the Tigers. And I want to play Arkansas here, and I wish Matt Grissom had played Arkansas as a home dog against Tennessee a couple weeks ago. But Arkansas was a 3-point favorite, like you said, early in the week, now 1.5. At least we know Talen Green, the quarterback, is going to play. So I am on the Arkansas side here, but it's tougher to recommend it at this number. I think you might even play money line now, expecting Arkansas to win the game, because I think this is a bad spot for LSU on the road off a big win over Ole Miss.
All right, let's call the Hogs. Not an official play, but for our guy Matt Grissom, let's get this one home. Woo, pig, suey. We got a lot of other games to hit on, including Jeff Brohm as a home dog. Another spot that Matt and I agree on. We'll hit on that. Continue to work through Week 9 on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We keep it rolling here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Just a reminder, please rate, review, and subscribe. It helps us out. Let's keep rising up those rankings, and hopefully Matt Eumanns and me continue to give out those winners. More so, Matt, let's stay hot. We just went through the main course. Speaking of hot, I know a lot of you, I just envision a lot of you going through a drive-thru at a Taco Bell or a Chipotle right now, listening to this, and I'm thinking, I wonder what type of food they're eating. Probably some spicy food. I know Matt likes some spicy food. So let's get to what we like to call those caliente matchups.
Muy caliente.
Spicy matchups.
Yeah, I really like this one, Matt. This was actually the first bet I made all week. The market moved with me and then went against me. So we will see where we land on this one. The market is actually right where I bet this game, which is Miami at Louisville. Louisville is catching 4.5, actually 5 now market-wide, so you can get a better number. I took 4.5. It's now 5. I'll let you start with this one because not many people know Jeff Brohm and the betting tendencies of his teams better than you. And you think back these last handful of weeks where Louisville goes to Notre Dame. They go off as, I believe, a 7-point dog. That's a push, depending on what number you got. You actually laid 6.5 with the Irish and got the win there. They follow up with a loss to SMU. And then last week, they win but don't cover against UVA. Miami, on the other hand, the last two games that they've played, they're fortunate to escape Virginia Tech after the Hail Mary. They come back from 25 down to beat Cal. They're coming off a bye, and now they head to Louisville, noon Eastern, ABC. Our colleague Stormy Bonatoni will be on the sideline for this one. Are you taking the points with your guy Jeff Brohm here at home?
Yeah, you know, I love home dogs, just like Brent Musburger in college football. Home dogs are the way I prefer to go. And, you know, I'm not going to play every home dog, but very select ones. Big game, Jeff Brohm's going to be one of them this week. So Louisville plus 5 here. And the Hurricanes, fortunate against Virginia Tech and Cal, to say the least, and a little help from the officials to get the two wins there. I'm not sure the bye week. I know a lot of handicappers are going to look at it and say, well, Miami's off the bye. That's got to be a positive thing. It's not always a positive thing. You know, when you're winning, you don't necessarily want a bye week to disrupt your rhythm. So I don't think that's that big a deal, at least in terms of a positive for Miami. I know it's tough to bet against Cam Ward. He's got 300-plus passing yards in all six games, 400-plus in two games. But on the road, Lamb points against big game Jeff Brohm. I think the Hurricanes are going to have to sweat it out again. And, you know, you've got a capable quarterback on the other side. Tyler Shuck's got 14 TDs, three picks. Isaac Brown, 8.6 yards per carry. So you got a capable offense with the underdog. And, Tim, I'm fully aware that Louisville has not looked that good in recent games against LSU and Virginia. I know that's why a lot of people are down on the Cardinals. I was hoping to get 7 here when the number opened. I think it tells you something that the odds maker did not put this number at 7. So I'll take the 5 and expect a lot of fight out of the home dog in this one.
Yeah, let's take a little history lesson here with Jeff Brohm facing top 10 teams. You mentioned last year as they took on Notre Dame and what was a brutal spot. And it's funny because I remember vividly looking at that spot. You and I talked about that spot last year when Notre Dame went to Louisville. The week prior, Louisville looked like complete and utter crap against NC State. And we stayed off the game, at least on the podcast. And Louisville went out and won that game by double digits, pulled away in the second half. 2021. Jeff Brohm and Purdue beat Iowa as the number two team in the country, 24-7. They actually won that game on the road. They beat Michigan State 40-29. They were number three. And then the most infamous one, Rondale Moore still might be scoring touchdowns in that one, 2018 over Ohio State, as Wyatt Tomchek, our producer, smiling ear to ear as the Michigan fan here, thinking about the pain of Ohio State. So, look, it's tried and true with Jeff Brohm. The market's going against us a little bit here, but I will take Louisville. And I was disappointed 2 weeks ago when I put them in a money line parlay and they lost as a touchdown favorite against SMU. But these are those spots that Louisville and Jeff Brohm seems to rise to the occasion. So give me the 5 with Louisville. I bet 4.5. Go get the better number. Noon on ABC. Also noon, Matt, on Fox, we've got Nebraska taking on Indiana, and I saw a 7 on Thursday show up at the South Point, and that's what I've been waiting all week for, and I went out and grabbed it. So what I'm going to say here is I think the 7s will show up again, so do not bet the 6.5, or if you want to buy up the 7, that's certainly fine. It's juiced up right now at minus 15 with Indiana. Look, Indiana has been an absolute monster so far this year, both winning and covering, Matt. They've been destroying everyone. I tried to go against them once this year, and I had egg on my face as Indiana, despite losing the turnover battle 4-0, beat Maryland 42-28. But I want to point something out. On September 28th, when I went against Indiana, Matt, Indiana was laying 7.5 at home against Maryland. They're laying 6.5 or 7. 7 is what I bought at against Nebraska. Both these teams coming off a bye. Nebraska has been certainly more tested playing Illinois, albeit in a loss, and Colorado. That win, I think, continues to look better. You look at Indiana so far, and we love the way that this season has started. We both cashed a season win total over on the Hoosiers. But FIU, Western Illinois, UCLA, Charlotte, Maryland, and Northwestern, I think this is their first real test. I think Indiana's good. They probably will win this game, but I will take a full touchdown. So once again, my official play will be 7. I think you will get a 7 at some point over the next 24 hours. Give me the Cornhuskers here. Both teams coming off a bye. I like Nebraska catching the full 7 on the road at Indiana.
You said a mouthful there. There's not much left for me to say. So I'm going to leave it at this. I would either bet Nebraska plus 7 or pass on the game. Indiana's been really impressive, but against a weak schedule. And Kurt Cignetti cracks me up because this guy is so cocky the way he talks. And I think, that rubs off on his team now, too. The Hoosiers are starting to believe. I know a lot of sharp bettors like that Maryland plus 7 against Indiana a couple weeks ago. It didn't work out. But the breaks kind of went Indiana's way in that game. I have not been too impressed with Nebraska so far. So I'm not getting fired up here about this Nebraska play. And I don't know if I'm going to bet it. As for right now, it's going to be a pass just because I don't trust the Cornhuskers right now.
All right, let's get to a home dog situation here where I'm curious your thoughts on this. Not going to be official play, at least based off of the bets we gave in to Wyatt here earlier, but we've got number 24 Michigan going to number 22 Illinois. This will be the 3:30 Eastern CBS game. The market's betting up Michigan here, 3.5, 4-point favorites, and I understand the move. Illinois, very uninspiring performance last week against your Boilermakers, needing overtime to win it against what thought to be a corpse of Purdue. And Jack Tuttle's the best quarterback on this roster. They can actually move the ball through the air here. So I'm not going to play this game, but I think Michigan should take care of business. But Bert Bielema, I know his name's Brett, usually does coach well in this dog role. So a pass for me.
You know, I was thinking about betting Michigan in this game early in the week. I watched most of the Purdue-Illinois game last week. And Purdue always matches up well against Illinois. That, by the way, that was the Illini's first home win against Purdue since 2010. So that series usually goes Purdue's way. I think it eight of the last nine and went Purdue's way. So you can't make too much of that. It's one of those matchups. You got to pay attention to the trends sometimes in those conference matchups. But I did see a lot of things I didn't like about the Illini in that game. Luke Altmyer didn't play well. The defense wasn't that impressive. And you know what? Michigan, with its running game and its defense, is probably going to go into Champaign and win this game. Early in the week when I looked at it, I thought about playing Michigan. I said, you know what? I think I'm just going to play Michigan on the money line here. So I think the Wolverines will get the win. They off a loss, sometimes a bye can be a good thing. And I think Michigan's had some time maybe to get some of the problems fixed on that offense. So I'm not going to say they're going to come out passing the ball and looking like an air raid offense this week. But they got to find a way to use Jack Tuttle more effectively because the forward pass has got to be a part of it. This is not Red Grange in the 1920s, okay? So I think Michigan can go in there, run the ball, play enough defense, and grind out a win. But, man, I don't want to lay the points with this Michigan offense. So give me Michigan on the money line here. That's probably going to be my play.
We'll carry this game over to the break here. But number 12 Notre Dame is visiting the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. This is not a road game for the Irish. Georgia Tech is, yes, located in Atlanta, but I can promise you one thing. 3:30 on ESPN, there will be more Notre Dame fans in the home of the Atlanta Falcons than Georgia Tech. The biggest thing to keep an eye on here is Haynes King, the quarterback for Georgia Tech. And I'll read you this tweet, and we'll give analysis on the other side of the break. This from Chad Bishop, as he said, Georgia Tech coach Brent Key tells us today that quarterback Haynes King is still, quote, day-to-day, and will be a, quote, game-time decision against number 12 Notre Dame. We saw the betting market open around 8.5. It has ballooned out to 11.5. So we will see what this game has in store. Notre Dame dealing with injuries themselves as they lost their cornerback Benjamin Morrison, their top pro prospect, earlier this week due to a season-ending injury. Brent Key, 7-3 ATS as a double-digit dog down there in Atlanta. Does he get one against the Irish? Matt Eumanns will give us his thoughts on this game on the other side, and we will take a look at some letdown spots in week number 9 that could lead to more best bets. Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free, unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. Once again, the website, forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We set it up. Now let's give you some analysis. Notre Dame and Georgia Tech, 3:30 ESPN, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. As mentioned, the status for Haynes King, the quarterback for Georgia Tech up in the air. It would be Zach Pyron if he is unable to go. He did not finish the UNC game as Georgia Tech won that one 41-34. So, Matt, right now market sits Georgia Tech catching 11.5, neutral site game against the Irish. Does the Haynes King status worry you about this particular spot?
Well, I haven't bet the game yet. I've got this on my list, and there, you know, were 12s out there at DraftKings and some other places this week. I think if Haynes King is scratched before the game, you're going to see this number go up and maybe go up to 13 or 14. I don't want Georgia Tech here if Haynes King's not the quarterback, so that's why I haven't bet the game yet, but I think he's going to play. I'm just guessing. Now, the game time decision thing, Tim, probably is gamesmanship. Why would you tip off Notre Dame to which quarterback you're going to play? And I think Haynes King is going to give it a go, but that's just a guess. And that's why I haven't bet the game yet. I want to see what's happening. And, you know, we got some pretty good sources that might tip us off to what's going to happen before the breaking news actually hits on Saturday. So I'm hoping we could get the news before the public gets it. But if Haynes King is in, I like Georgia Tech in the points here. And I think Tech, you know, is going to put a big scare into Notre Dame in this game. And if not, upset the Irish. I know that would upset you. But I think Tech would be live. If Haynes King is actually in, I think Tech is going to be live in this game. And that's why I want the 11.5. But, again, I haven't bet it. And that's a situation I'm going to obviously monitor Saturday morning. And who knows, you know, we might get the news at some point during your college football tailgate show Saturday morning.
Well, let's hope that's the case. The VSiN college football tailgate show, by the way, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time. Matt Newman's kind enough to join us at 11:15 Eastern each and every Saturday. My gut tells me he's not playing, but that is unsourced as well. So we will see. One of us will be right. They play Virginia Tech next week, which you can argue is a more important game for the Rambling Wreck than their game against Notre Dame. But my gut tells me he doesn't play, but we will see. Brent Key, as mentioned, very strong as a dog. The final spicy matchup I want to mention, a game that, look, I'm mad. I'm mad at you, West Virginia. You had everything set up there for a big upset opportunity, and you let me down. And maybe I should just give some credit to Iowa State. But West Virginia back at it at home in another big-time spot. Fox, primetime again. They get Kansas State. They're coming off a loss, West Virginia, that is. Kansas State off of a entertaining win. Avery Johnson was a little bit banged up. DJ Giddens ran all over Colorado. Late touchdown to get Kansas State the victory. You can get a 3 if you do like West Virginia at home. I don't know. I'm a little snake-bitten. Maybe I shouldn't. I should get it out of my feelings and look at West Virginia here. But it's a pass for me, but a lean towards the Mountaineers. But they have let us down, me and you, already a bunch this season.
Yeah, Mountaineers let me down against Penn State early, and I kind of bailed on the team at that point. I didn't jump on board last week. That home dog spot was pretty attractive against Iowa State. But I said, you know, I'm going to stay away. Something's just not right about that game. And disappointing performance actually from the Mountaineers. I also thought they caught a couple bad breaks from the officials if you're watching that game. I know Neil Brown was upset about that at the time and did not, you would think you would get some home cooking, but they got the opposite. And West Virginia is not going to be on my playlist this week.
All right, let's get to, Matt, some situational spots that we like to discuss, and we appreciate it. We got a rating, a review this week talking about home dogs and situational spots, and that's, I feel like, our go-to. And let's hit some letdown spots for week number 9. Arizona State coming off of the big win on Friday night, Matt, against Utah. Storm the field. Kenny Dillingham bouncing around with the fans. The interesting thing about this one is you spoke about getting inside information. A little bird tipped me off that Sam Levitt might not play, so I took a little money line earlier this week. It got as high as 6.5 in favor of Cincinnati there at home. It has now trickled back down to 4. Jeff Sims, the former Georgia Tech, speaking of the Rambling Wreck, and Nebraska, excuse me, quarterback, he will be getting the start here. I like Cincinnati. I don't know if I want to lay 4 in this spot. The other game we mentioned already, LSU and Arkansas, both you and I like Arkansas in this spot. However, not at the particular number, maybe a money line parlay, or maybe a money line play, excuse me. Anything on Arizona State and Cincinnati?
No, you didn't give me the inside info, Tim, so I didn't get the bet down early enough. I thought we were friends, and I find out we're not, so I'm about ready to hang up the phone.
Oh, man.
I didn't get this information. I actually heard about it, and I was just a little bit too late to get the good number on that game, so I passed. And, you know, Arizona State last week, I was not surprised with what happened there because Cameron Scatabo and that Sun Devils team, I thought was going to be live at home against Utah. But, no, I didn't play that. I think the best one of the best situational spots on the board this week has got to be Arkansas as a home dog to LSU, though.
Yeah, there's no doubt. A couple other games I put on this list as possible letdown spots here, Matt. South Carolina, after almost beating Alabama on the road, they now got to go to Oklahoma. I know Oklahoma's a team that has bit you a couple of times. I bet them against Tennessee. Starting to get a little bit more healthy at that wide receiver position. A short home favorite here against South Carolina. And then I'll lump in this one as well. I don't know if I have the stones to take Maryland here, but this is a very good spot for the Terps. They're coming off of an embarrassing loss at home on Friday night. USC gets their guts ripped out in overtime, blow a 14-point halftime lead, get to the window for you, thankfully, and I tailed that play, so much appreciated, sir, as they cover the number. But USC now 3-3, Matt, and you've got to travel across the country. There's not going to be a soul at whatever they're calling Maryland Stadium these days. It used to be Bird Stadium. I think this is a weird spot for USC, but I don't know if I have it in me to take the Terps here in this spot.
I can guarantee you that Colin Coward's going to be giving out a pick on USC in this game, though. 5-8 in the last 13 games. That's Lincoln Riley's record. I don't know how you explain what happened. I know there were some fluke things that happened in the second half, but how do you get beat 37-10 at home by Northwestern? That's what bothers me a little bit about the Terps. And I know there were a lot of sharp bettors, like I said, that liked them in that spot against Indiana on the road. It's just such a tough team to trust. That said, Tim, if you look at it, the defensive injuries, not only that, Bear Alexander left the team, so he's not on the defensive line anymore. A lot of defensive attrition for USC, and that's something you got to pay attention to because that USC defense is not especially deep in the first place. So I think it would be home dog or pass, and as of right now, I'm going to pass on the Terps.
All right, I'm going to get a little weird here. A couple weeks ago, I took UConn laying 6.5 against Buffalo after Buffalo pulled off the stunner over then-ranked Northern Illinois. The Buffalo Bulls last week, in another good situational spot, played Toledo. Toledo was off beating Miami of Ohio in the MAC championship rematch, and Buffalo went out and bit Toledo. And now they're catching points at home against Western Michigan. I will take Western Michigan here. Give me the Broncos in a Buffalo letdown spot. The MAC is all whack this year, and I think the wackiness continues. Give me the Broncos short money line play. I think minus 118 is out there at DraftKings. I played minus 120. All right, Matt, let's look at a couple look-ahead spots here for week number 9. And I'll run through these and let me know if you're curious of any of these. We've got Vanderbilt in maybe the all-time sandwich spot of the week. I am at principle going to take Ball State here. Ball State, let me just say this, they suck. They are not very good. However, let's run through the last 2 weeks for Vanderbilt. They beat Alabama, ripped down the goalpost, walked them down Broadway. They go on the road, they beat Kentucky. Next week, they host Texas. And Diego Pavia was limping around after the game against Kentucky. A bad bet by me. I think this is a spot where if you're Clark Lee, get in, get out, get the win, win by 14-17. Ball State stinks, but you don't want Diego Pavia getting banged up. So give me Chirp Chirp, the boys from Muncie, and I'm going to hold my nose on this one.
Well, I mean, I don't argue with that at all. In fact, the first thing that crossed my mind when I saw that game this week was, how crazy would that be if Ball State actually pulled the upset in that game? Because you got to think the Commodores are going to be asleep at the wheel. Off those two big games and with what's on deck, there's no way I would touch Vandy in this game. And, you know, Commodores have been a great story. Diego Pavia and everything that's happened with Clark Lee and that team. But this is not a spot where you want to lay the points with Vandy. I don't care how bad Ball State is. We've seen a lot of bad teams pull big upsets. And it would be dog or pass for me here, too.
Just remember this. The Vanderbilt Commodores, yes, they have won back-to-back games over Alabama and Kentucky. They beat Virginia Tech. They covered forced overtime against Missouri. They also lost to Georgia State. So worth pointing that out there when you look at Vanderbilt. All right, we'll hit a couple more look-ahead spots. We have a couple best of the rest bets to get to, including some for and some against our Armed Service Academies. And then we'll hit a best bet recap. Stick on here. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, working us through week 9 of the college football season. All right, folks, before we give you our best bet recap, we will say farewell, but we're lying because you have a bonus segment here on the podcast where we will break down the Friday night games. Dogs have been a-barking on Friday, and we've got 4 games on Friday to break down. So when we say farewell, stick around for those Friday night breakdowns.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Putting a bow on the show, it is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Thanks to all of you for rating, reviewing, and subscribing to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you're getting your podcasts. If you see a stranger on the street, make sure you tell them that Matt Eumanns is 13-3-1. Over the last 3 weeks. Speaking of Matt Eumanns, he's with me. All right, a couple more look-ahead spots here, Matt. We'll just run through these, and if you've got any thoughts, let me know. We got Texas A&M. They're taking on Mississippi State. Next week, they host LSU. Don't look now, but the Fighting Mike Elkos, they could make the college football playoff. They could be 10-1 going into a showdown against Texas in the final week of the season. The betting market has actually bet this game up to around 17.5. Navy at home against Charlotte. Now, they're coming off a bye, as is Texas A&M. But Navy playing Charlotte next week, their biggest game of the season outside of Army. They take on Notre Dame at MetLife Stadium. Wisconsin on the banks of Lake Michigan there in that makeshift stadium. They're taking on the Purple Cats of Northwestern. Next week, Wisconsin will host Penn State. And then a game that our colleague Jonathan Von Tobel is very confident, not worried at all. I'm a little worried. UNLV heads up to Corvallis, and they are laying 6.5 now. The market taking a little bit of the Beavers here on Thursday. Still a 7 out there if you want to take Oregon State. UNLV, biggest game of the year, no doubt. Next week, Friday night at Allegiant Stadium. I'll be in attendance, looking forward to it. So of those 4 games and possible look-ahead spots, we already referenced the Vanderbilt game, which led to a best bet for me on the boys from Muncie. Any of those 4 games interest you in a possible look-ahead scenario?
I think Oregon State has to. And, I really considered a bet on Oregon State, and I still might do it. But, you know, one thing about the Rebels, they've been a fast-starting team this season. And I was thinking, you know, maybe I can get a better number here with Oregon State if UNLV starts fast again in this game. But with Boise State on deck and the high stakes in that Mountain West game next week, you got to think UNLV playing back-to-back road games is in a bet-against spot here. So Oregon State's not bad either. It's not a good team. But the Beavers plus 7 at home would be the only side I would play here. I will probably have some sort of bet on Oregon State. DraftKings has still got 7. I see a couple books out there still with 7. And I might end up on the Oregon State side, but I have not taken it yet.
Yeah, Oregon State last week threw not 1, not 2, not 3, but 4 mm-hmm. interceptions to Nevada as the Wolf Space Pack got the victory at home there against Oregon State. So, yeah, I could see myself getting involved with Oregon State there. I would hope it doesn't happen. By the way, over at DraftKings, the adjusted win total on UNLV is 9.5, even money to the over. Essentially, will they beat everyone outside of Boise State from here on out. I thought it was an intriguing look, but this game would be the trepidation against Oregon State on the road. By the way, late night on the CW, 10 p.m. for this game up in Corvallis. I could see myself getting to the window on the Beavers.
Hey, one quick note here on UNLV quarterback Haj Malik Williams, because this is such a big story. 3 weeks ago when he stepped in and Matthew Sluka deserted the team, I was looking at a chart. I think it was on Reddit CFB, if you want to look it up on Twitter. In the last three games, Haj Malik Williams has the highest passer rating of any quarterback in college football since he stepped in for UNLV. I think Jalen Milroe at Alabama is on that list, a couple other big names you'd recognize, but that's how well Haj Malik Williams has played for UNLV in the past few games.
Yeah, it's funny when you look at some of these teams, Matt, across the country, and I saw it on Wednesday night with Western Kentucky. Some of these coaches just flat out made the wrong decision at the quarterback position. I think UNLV is one of those teams. Western Kentucky turning to Caden Vellkamp. They look like a much better team as they got a win on the road at Sam Houston State. So, you know, some of these teams just made a mistake and started the wrong quarterback. And I think Michigan is probably one of those teams as well. Uh-huh. All right. Yep. We mentioned Navy. I was tempted to take the points with Charlotte, the Fighting Biff Pogies, in that spot. But Navy coming off a bye seems like a decent spot for them, even though laying points with the Service Academy is never fun. But taking points with the Service Academy, well, that's sometimes where you can get intrigued. And let's get to a best bet for you. CBS Sports Network, 8 p.m. Air Force taking on Colorado State. Tough news this week for Colorado State as they will be without their most talented player, Torrey Horton, for the remainder of the year. And he's done at Colorado State. He's going to go pro. Air Force catching 7 at home. They are not very good, Matt. So are you plugging your nose and taking the Falcons here?
Yeah, I think it's the Falcons. This has got to be a game they've circled. This is a rivalry game, you know, on the front range in Colorado, and Air Force has had such a bad season and is going to get beat down by the rival academies that you got to beat one of your rivals. And if you can beat Colorado State, you kind of salvage something out of your season here. And, the Rams, I don't think should be laying 7 or 7.5 on the road. In fact, I took 7.5 with Air Force, and that was not an easy bet to make this week, but sometimes you got to hold your nose and take some points with some of these ugly home dogs. And, hey, let's face it, Air Force is not incapable. The Falcons went on the road to New Mexico, rolled up 325 rushing yards last week. Also, you got a couple of quarterbacks here in Quentin Hayes and Josh Johnson who can move the offense. So it's not like Air Force is not going to be able to move the ball against Colorado State, which doesn't have a lockdown defense. But for me, what means the most is one of the things you just mentioned, and that's Torrey Horton, top wide receiver for Colorado State the last 2 years, out with a knee injury, and he's done. So the Rams are going to limp in. They're going to limp in down there to Colorado Springs and the Air Force Academy with a weak coach, a weak quarterback, and without your top wide receiver. And you're going to be laying 7. No, I'll take the home dog here. I hope the Falcons show up. I think they will.
All right. The other Service Academy that we have yet to mention, by the way, Army and Navy ranked at the same time. For the first time since 1960, Army number 23. They're 6-0 straight up, 6-0 ATS, covering by 14.6 points per game. So why would anyone bet against them? Well, because the market's probably gone a little too far. Give me the points with East Carolina, another Hold Your Nose special up on the Hudson River at Mikey Stadium. I'm doing it. I'm going in front of the Goliath that is Army. East Carolina coming off a bye, fresh off of a butt-whipping at the hands of Charlotte before that bye. But let's look at the teams that Army has faced so far. Lehigh, Florida Atlantic, Rice, Temple. By the way, 3 straight wins over Owls. Pretty impressive. Tulsa, UAB. I was texting with a pretty sharp bettor earlier this week, and he said none of those teams are in his top 100 of defenses. So I will plug my nose, and I will take the points with East Carolina. I'll say this, folks. I grabbed 17 earlier this week. It's 16.5 right now. I think we're going to get back to 17. People can't get enough of this Army team. They're undefeated against the spread, as mentioned. So I would wait. It'll be an official play here on the podcast at 16, but I would wait. I think you do get that 17. And, you know, Service Academies as big dogs, very profitable. As big favorites, not so profitable, even though Army easily covered against the Fighting Trent Dilfers last week. All right, Matt, let's do what we do to wrap up the show and recap all of our bets the only way we know how.
Best Bets Recap.
All right, Matt, let's roll with your best bets recap. You've got five plays and a one tentative based off of the status of Haynes King.
Yeah, we're going to roll with the big dog, Georgia Bulldogs, favored 49 consecutive games, now catching 5 points in Austin, Georgia plus five. How about big game Jeff Brohm, catching five at home against Miami Hurricanes, who are lucky to be undefeated at this point. I kind of prefer this to be a night game, and it's not, but yeah. I'll still take the five with big game Brohm against the Canes. Also going to go with Alabama. I know it was a sloppy performance last week by Jalen Milroe and the Tide against South Carolina, but that's okay. It gives the coaching staff a lot of stuff to clean up this week in practice. I think you'll see a much better performance out of Milroe. Plus, I think Tennessee's a better against team right now and has been the past couple weeks. So let's go Alabama minus three. Got to throw a favorite in there, right? Just talked about Air Force plus seven. Falcons at home against Colorado State. I like that spot for the Mountain West home dog. And Georgia Tech, this is going to be a game-time decision for me, too. Hopefully a few hours before game time we get the news. But I like Georgia Tech plus 11.5 against Notre Dame. That game is at the, Tim, I think that's the Mercedes-Benz Dome or the stadium,
sir,
whatever it is, in Atlanta. So let's take the points there with Georgia Tech. If Haynes King is playing, if he's not going to play, if we find out he's not playing, I'm not betting the Tech side in that one. So I'll give you another play to throw in there to take its place. If Georgia Tech's not a play, and that's going to be Michigan on the money line against Illinois.
All right, there it is, Michigan on the money line. We'll run through my plays against the clock here, and we will go Georgia plus the five, Louisville plus 4.5, Ball State plus 25.5, East Carolina plus 16. I would wait. I think you get a 17 there. Western Michigan on the money line, and a bonus play. I like Arkansas. I took the three. They're going to win outright. For Matt, I'm Tim. This has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, as promised, it is time to break down some Friday night games. By the way, I just want to mention something. We did our best bet recap there. I did a poor job letting producer Wyatt know that I want Nebraska at 7 as a official play. So we'll add that to my official best bet. Georgia, Louisville, Ball State, East Carolina, Western Michigan, and give me the boys of corn if you get the 7 or if you want to buy to the 7. All right, Matt. Friday nights have been nights for the dogs. Last Friday, we saw dogs go 3-0 ATS, two outright upsets. And this Friday night, with the dogs now 16-5 ATS on Fridays, we've got some interesting dog situations. So let's go in chronological order. 7 o'clock Eastern, Florida State has been the biggest disappointment in college football this year. They are catching points at Duke. Could you imagine even uttering those words in the early 2000s? But that is the case, hell, even last year with the way Florida State was playing. So can I interest you in a dog here in Durham, North Carolina, with basketball right around the corner?
Yeah, in fact, I've spent about 30 hours this week working on the VSiN College Basketball Betting Guide. So thinking a lot about hoops this week, and but still trying to stay focused on football. I have not even looked at this Florida State-Duke game. I don't bet a lot of ACC football, and Florida State's not a team I'm interested in betting, I can tell you that. I don't need the aggravation to bet on Florida State and watch that offense Friday night. Pass.
All right. Well, speaking of aggravation, how about Purdue? This is a team that everyone bet on. I'm saying everyone, the market, bet on against Notre Dame, bet on them against Oregon State. And then they said, all right, enough's enough. We're going to bet against them against Illinois. And go figure, they force overtime there. This is a massive letdown spot. Short week, travel, all of that for Oregon. But can you really take the points with Purdue? Can you trust your Boilermakers, Fox, 8 p.m. on Friday night, as the market is betting Oregon like crazy? They're now up to a 29.5-point favorite at Circa.
Yeah, I think Purdue's got a lot of problems with the coaching staff and some dissension there. It was kind of shocking, actually, to see that team rally from a 27-3 deficit at Illinois and come back and actually take the lead in the final minute, 43-40. Then, of course, find a way to blow the game and lose 50-49 in overtime as a 23-point dog. I don't think that's a buy sign in the Boilermakers. But, you know, in this spot, if you get up to 30, 31, somewhere around there, you might have to take a look at betting Purdue as a dog in the first half or maybe in the game. It wouldn't be a big bet. And, no, you're not going to trust this team. But I think you got to bet against the situation that Oregon's in here off the monster game against Ohio State. Going on the road on a Friday night, kind of a quick turnaround. And, hey, Purdue's been dangerous as a dog in a lot of these spots over the years. And this goes back a long time. I don't think that trend necessarily applies to this team, because this Purdue team looks like a dead dog. So it's not a play for me right now. But you might be able to look over the total. This Purdue defense is not getting many stops over the total of 60. I see a 59.5 out there. Maybe that's a play. But no, I'm not going to lay this number with Oregon. First of all, even if Oregon gets up big, don't you think the Ducks would just call off the dogs? Because you got to avoid injury at this point in the season, and there's no reason to pile it on. This is not necessarily an opponent you hate. By the way, last week I said Dylan Gabriel was a quarterback I trusted more in that game against Will Howard. Gabriel, pretty impressive, 23 for 34, 341, two touchdowns, and he also ran for 32 yards on the score. And I thought he stepped up. And I was one thing about the Oregon game plan I liked him is they were throwing a lot of short stuff early in the season in most of those games. And Ohio State was kind of defensively, I think, planning on Oregon throwing a lot more short stuff in that game last week. But the Ducks stretched it out. They went vertical. They threw it deep. And I think they kind of caught the Ohio State defense off guard last week. So props to the Ducks for a really good game plan on both sides of the ball last week.
Yeah, and we saw the best performance from Evan Stewart, the Texas A&M transfer. He was electric in that game. And, you know, Dylan Gabriel was someone that we talked about in the early week podcast, the betting market for the Heisman Trophy. And just 2 weeks ago, Dylan Gabriel was as high as 18-1 at FanDuel, 16-1 at BetMGM. And he's now as low as plus 260 at BetMGM. Mm-hmm. So a big performance from Dylan Gabriel. That's what you kind of see with the Heisman market. And we'll see what happens if Carson Beck plays well against Texas in that betting market. All right. We mentioned Army in that final segment, and I'm going to try to catch the falling knife, so to speak, and bet against Army, who is undefeated against the spread. The only other team that is perfect against the spread, a team that you and I bet on a couple weeks ago, in BYU. Now, I bet against them the following week, and that did not get there. And speaking of Friday night dogs, Matt, back on September 6th, a shocker, very ugly game. BYU went to Dallas and beat SMU as a 12.5-point underdog. And now the script is flipped. BYU is laying 9.5 here against Oklahoma State. No official word, but my belief is that Garrett Rangel will get the start at quarterback on Saturday or Friday night against BYU, replacing Alan Bowman. Maybe when that news comes out, we get a double-digit spread here. Look, Oklahoma State, there's a chance, Matt, they are on quit watch. This team has looked like an absolute disaster. They get the comeback win against Arkansas, but since then, you know, you beat Tulsa, congratulations. You lose to Utah, you get smacked by Kansas State, best bet by you a couple weeks ago, and then you get smoked by West Virginia, best bet by me a couple weeks ago. They're off a bye. If it is Garrett Rangel, maybe this is that spot where you get the best effort from the Fighting Gundies. If I get double digits, I might be inclined to take a look at the Pokes here on a Friday night in Provo.
Yeah, the market's gotten a little bit too high. I think BYU's near the top of the market right now. It's a 9.5-point favorite, and I can't play BYU in that price range. Mike Gundy's team's always full of surprises, good and bad. mostly bad this season. And when you make a quarterback change like this, is it going to make much of a difference? Probably not. So I don't see anything here that's worth playing for me. Tim, do you really believe the Cowboys are going to show up here and get better production out of their quarterback? I think it's hard to believe that.
No, I really don't. I might just be involved just so I could have something on a Friday night, to be honest, as that game's at 10:15 Eastern on a Friday night. And the dogs have been barking on Friday, even though that's just a random-ass trend. There's no real correlation to other games. Lastly, Matt, Fresno State laying 3 on the road at Nevada. The Mountain West is a conference that you handicap quite well. And Fresno State heading into Nevada. Nevada and Jeff Choate, I'll give them credit. They've looked a lot better than I expected this year, Matt. And they're catching 3 at home, coming off a nice win over Oregon State. They blew a late lead against San Jose State. This is a Nevada team that's actually been pretty feisty this year. Could have beat SMU early on. Any interest in the home dog up in Reno, Nevada catching 3 against Fresno State?
Yeah, I almost played the home dog last week, the Wolfpack against Oregon State, and I regretted not making that play. I haven't played this yet this week, and I was thinking about it. I was hoping to get a little bit more than 3 with Nevada. But you're right, Jeff Choate's done a great job. Got win at Troy. Beat Eastern Washington in a blowout. Takes down Oregon State 42-37 a week ago. And, has lost a couple of close games against SMU, Georgia Southern, San Jose State, from what I recall. And don't laugh, but Nevada might be able to get to 6 wins. Got home games against Fresno, Colorado State, Air Force. Actually got a winnable game at Hawaii still on the schedule. So I think it would be – I might play the Wolfpack here against the Fresno State team that's been pretty disappointing, actually, up to this point. But that would not be a big play for me. And if anything, it would be a small bet on the dog at +3. I do I think the Wolfpack should be live in this game in Reno Friday night.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It would be dog or pass here. Fresno State last week, a spot that I know JBT liked. I ended up betting it as well. They did not really show up against Washington State. I thought that was a pretty lackluster performance, needless to say, from the Bulldogs, who are now 3-3. And maybe finally feeling the loss of Jeff Tedford, who retired late in the preseason there for Fresno State. All right, Matt, that's going to do it for the podcast. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe. I know we got a couple of reviews this past week. We appreciate that. Let's keep it rolling. It really helps us out. Let's keep rising up that iTunes chart. Always love seeing that logo there on the iTunes Top 200, so let's keep it rolling there. For Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. Matt, like Mike Singletary says, and let's keep it rolling. We want winners, and let's keep it rolling here. Another good week, week 9, and we'll talk to you next week right here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.